Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for February 28th, 2019, looking at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, we have Stephen's defense before the Sanhedrin and the fallout from that. And we're going to do things just a little bit differently today. We'll begin with a little bit of commentary for you to listen to the structure, and then we'll just read straight through. And we'll see that Stephen's defense, and apparently it seems just like merely a survey of the history of Israel, but actually a pointed answer to the charges brought against him. You might remember from verses 11 to 14 of the previous chapter, they secretly persuaded some people to say, "We have heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God." Number one charge is blasphemy. They seized Stephen, they produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stops speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us." And so when we talk about blasphemy is calling something God that isn't God, and calling something not God that is God. And so when they put Stephen on trial for blasphemy, it's a capital crime there in Palestine. It's the same charge they had against Jesus. And Stephen's defense is going to demonstrate that the Jesus he talks about is actually the fulfillment of all of Old Testament history and prophecy. So in the narrative that he brings, that he recites for them, basically, is based on the Old Testament scriptures and makes it clear that the God of glory works where he wills, independent of any holy place, including the temple. So number one, if the charge is that Stephen is somehow going to bring about this destruction of the temple, or that Jesus will, well, that's not such a bad thing anyway, because God doesn't need a temple. He performed his mighty acts in distant and unholy lands. He called Abraham while Abraham was in Mesopotamia, and made holy ground a spot of wilderness at Mount Sinai when he appeared to Moses, "Take off your sandals," performing signs and wonders through Moses while in Egypt and at the Red Sea, in a sense, God being active there, proving that in that case, since God was there, it was holy ground. All these, and all the way through this decisive foundation laying portion of its history, Israel had no temple. Abraham was around 2000, Solomon was around 900, is when the temple is finally built. There's over 1,000 years of Old Testament history without a temple. And after Solomon had built the house for Israel's God, Isaiah spoke that and said that the house could not contain the creator of heaven and earth. You'll notice in verses 48 to 50, Stephen quotes from Isaiah chapter 66. This is what the Lord says, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things, and so they came into being?" declares the Lord. "This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit, and trembles at my word." And so this temple could not be the ultimate expression of God's presence among his people. Their Jewish zeal for the temple is branded by Scripture itself as fanatical and misplaced, and Israel's fury at any doubt cast on its permanence is not an expression of holy zeal. And so Stephen is really saying, if you want blasphemy, well, look in the mirror, because you guys who treasure your temple so highly are missing the point. And you are elevating this temple, this building, this location, to the point where it's almost more important than God to you. And you should really be hearing the scriptures and understanding who this Jesus the Christ is. And then he kind of goes on to say that the second part of this sermon, or his defense, is to prove that their record of zeal, their record of the religious life of the nation of Israel, was a record of rebellion and apostasy. the nation that betrayed Joseph and rejected and disobeyed Moses and turned from the living God to idols, is the same nation that persecuted the prophets, killed the men of God who announced beforehand the coming of the Righteous One. They killed the Christ, the Righteous One who was betrayed to death and murdered when he appeared. And it was a nation that did not keep the law for which they professed such zeal. So they have this temple that they say they really love. They say that they really love the Word of God and the law of God, and they disobey and have a wrong impression, wrong idea of both. So how dare they crown their resistance to God, their persistent resistance to the Holy Spirit, by attempting to silence the Spirit when he speaks through Stephen? That's kind of the charge back in verse 10, and we saw that in the precursor to the trial. They could not stand up against Stephen or against the wisdom and the Spirit by whom he spoke. And so it's no surprise that they cover their ears to try to carry out their resistance to the final act of taking Stephen outside and trying to silence him. Acts chapter 7. Then the high priest asked him, "Are these things true?" Stephen said, "Gentlemen, brothers and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. God said to him, 'Leave your land and your relatives and come to the land that I will show you.' Then he left that land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After his father died, God had him move on from there to this land where you are now living. He gave him no inheritance in this land, not even enough to set his foot on, but God promised to give it to him as a possession and to his descendants after him, even though Abraham still had no child. God revealed that his descendants would live as strangers in a foreign country and that they would be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. God added, 'I will judge the nation that they will serve as slaves, and after that they will leave there and serve me in this place.' Then he gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision. So Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs. The patriarchs, filled with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. God rescued him from all his troubles and granted him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Pharaoh made him governor over Egypt and over his whole palace. A famine came over all of Egypt and Canaan, causing great suffering, and our fathers found no food. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers on their first visit. On their second visit, Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and Joseph's family became known to Pharaoh. Then Joseph sent word and invited his father Jacob and all his relatives to come to him, 75 people in all. Jacob went down to Egypt, and there he died, he and our fathers. Their bodies were brought back to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham had bought for a sum of silver from the sons of Hamor of Shechem. As the time that God had spoke about in the promise he had made to Abraham approached, the people increased and multiplied in Egypt. This continued until another king who knew nothing about Joseph became ruler of Egypt. He took advantage of our people in a cunning way, and he mistreated our fathers by forcing them to get rid of their babies so that they would not survive. At that time Moses was born, and he was favored by God. For 3 months he was cared for in his father's house. After he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him in and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful in his words and actions. But when he was 40 years old, it entered into his mind to visit his brothers, the sons of Israel. When he saw one of them being mistreated, he defended him and avenged the oppressed man by striking down the Egyptian. He thought that his brothers would understand that God was giving them deliverance by his hand, but they did not understand. The next day he came across two of them while they were fighting, and he tried to reconcile them. He said, 'Men, you are brothers. Why are you harming each other?' But the one who was harming his neighbor pushed him away, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and judge over us?' Do you want to kill me the same way you killed that Egyptian yesterday? At this remark, Moses fled and lived as an exile in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. After 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in the flames of a burning bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight. As he went closer to look, the voice of the Lord said, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses trembled and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, Take your sandals off your feet, because the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have seen the oppression of my people in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning. This is the same Moses they rejected by saying, Who made you ruler and judge? This is the one whom God sent to be a ruler and deliverer with the help of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. This is the one who led the people out as he performed wonders and miraculous signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is the Moses who said to the people of Israel, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. This is the one who was in the assembly in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers. He received living messages to give to us, but our fathers refused to obey him. Instead, they pushed him away and turned back in their hearts to Egypt. They told Aaron, Make God gods for us who will go before us. As for this Moses who led us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has happened to him. That was the time when they made a calf, offered a sacrifice to the idol, and were taking delight in the works of their hands. But God turned away and gave them over to the worship of the heavenly bodies, as it is written in the book of the prophets. Did you bring me slaughtered animals and sacrifices 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? No, you even took up the tent of Moloch, and the star of your god Rephan, the statues you made to worship. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Babylon. We're going to wrap it up there today and conclude Stephen's speech before the Sanhedrin tomorrow. You can find us Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at 2250 South Hollandsvania Road in Maumee. You could also follow us on Instagram at RaisedWithJesus. God bless your day.